Would you agree that the phrase he has is past tense? It's really awesome. You know how people say he has, by his stripes we were, past tense. So they say, you're already healed. And I know some people get frustrated with that. I don't necessarily preach it that way. I just preach that the price to be healed is paid and his will is to heal and healing is ours. And we just by faith embrace it, whether we see it or not. We don't turn faith into a point in time, a hit, miss, win or lose. It's the position of our heart to receive what he accomplished. Faith is to believe and keep on believing. It doesn't mean to take a shot at it and see if it works. We take a shot at it, see if it works, and after three shots, we feel like strike three, we're out. Maybe this is my lot to in life, or my cross to bear, or my thorn in the flesh, or whatever we say. Or maybe there's something blocking in my life, and maybe I'm the logjam. And I'm just saying, I've been around this. I know what we tend to do. No. That's because we don't understand that faith isn't a method we're applying. It's a life that we live.
Amen. Yes.
And you don't find spiritual truth through outcomes. You find spiritual truth through Jesus. And his life bears witness to the Father. Not the outcome to your prayer. You don't say, well, because we prayed and they died, God obviously, blah, 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 blah. You don't do that. His own disciples prayed for an epileptic boy, and he was not cured when they prayed, guys. Nobody, for some reason, I'd never heard a preacher preaching on it. In my whole Christian life, I've never heard a preacher preaching on it. His disciples, it's the only time in the New Testament where men prayed and it didn't happen. And Jesus had a lot to say about it, and we probably should talk about it since it happens to us a lot. You might want to check it out. But Jesus came and healed the boy and doesn't do anything but the will of God. So if Jesus healed him, was it the will of God to heal the boy? Was he healed when his own disciples prayed? But was it the will of God to heal? And was he healed when Jesus prayed? So then we say, well, see, some people are just flowing in the river and Jesus is the river. So you just got to get to the anointed person. Bam, that's wrong. Jesus said, you faithless and perverse generation, twisted-minded people, you're thinking with your mind and it's corrupting your faith and ability to believe. How long shall I bear with you, be with you, bring the boy to me? Why'd he say that? I'm not going to be here long. I'm about to be crucified and go to the Father. I'm handing you the baton of the New Covenant, New Testament church. You got to get this. Let me show you one more time. Boom, he heals the boy. They come to him privately and say, Lord, why couldn't we do that? That's a straight up question. He said, because of your unbelief. He didn't say, because you ain't got no faith. There's a difference. He didn't say, because you ain't got no faith. He said, because of your unbelief. And when you study it out, it means because of what you fail to see. It goes back to corrupted thinking, twisted-minded, perverse generation. Come on. The boy is in a serious epilepsy fit. That's a violent visual seizure. He's locked up. And when they're praying, he's seizing. And their minds are spinning. Why is he still seizing? Why isn't he healed yet? Man, if Jesus was here, he'd be healed by now. I wonder what we're doing. But they keep praying, but everything they're praying from is through what's not happening. And he said, perverse generation, it's causing unbelief. Bring the boy to me. Whoa. Jesus, why couldn't we do that? Because of what you fail to see. But truly, I tell you this. It's Matthew 17. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to the mountain, move, and the mountain will, and nothing shall be impossible for you. You find me a limit for that. Because there is none. We make the limits. We write analogies when the book's already written. Let me interpret it the way it defines. So Jason just lost a good friend to cancer. He's weeping on his bed and he's saying, Jesus, I love you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at the gospel. I know the gospel's true and I want to grow into you. I just ask you to come and father me, comfort my heart. Man, I love that guy. I just know if you'd have touched him, he'd have got up out of that bed and there's a place for me to touch him and see that fruit. I'm just not seeing it like I want to. And I just need you to come and minister to me and speak to me. And all of a sudden, Jesus just shows up beside his bed. And he just looks and he says, Jason, and he says, Lord, why couldn't I do that? He said, Jason, it's just what you're failing to see. But truly, Jason, I tell you this. If you see what I see, you will do what I do. And Jason, there ain't nothing going to be impossible for you. However, this kind, is he talking about the epilepsy? He just gave him an unhinged promise. Nothing shall be impossible. He's not saying all. He's not retracking all. Wait, this spirit, he's difficult. He's a bugger. He's not saying that. He's saying, however, this kind. What's he talking about? Unbelief. He's talking about wrong thinking. He's talking about self-consciousness. Be honest with me. Be real honest. Who's ever prayed for the sick and you got very self-conscious right away and thought about what you were going to pray and your mind was already spinning, hoping something happened because you felt like you were even on the spot and very self-conscious right in the act of praying? Look around, people. Pretty common response. It's probably what he's addressing in Matthew 17. And then we think because we prayed the right thing, should have got the right results. And then we interpret the will of God through the lack of results or the results instead of the will of God through Jesus' life. It's a whole nother sermon, but are you with me? See how we just throw all these little tidbits out there? I don't even have a clue. Now I'm past four. I got to finish. Oh, however, this kind, Jason, it's not coming out of you. It's not going to be going unless you spend time in prayer and fasting, seeking the Father through prayer and fasting. Why? Because prayer and fasting, fasting's not works and prayer's not works. When you get alone with Him, deny the carnal nature, pursuing the things of the Spirit, that's all fasting is, suppressing the carnal nature, the cry of the flesh, so you can live and abound in the Spirit. And spend time in Him and seek Him. So who He is begins to dominate who you are. Nothing shall be impossible for you. However, this kind of thinking will never get out of your life until you spend time in Him so that who He is becomes who you are. That's what He's saying. So I think we're growing up into Him in all things if we don't change our mind about truth. But if we let outcome decide truth instead of Jesus' life and word, then we're going to raise our experience above His name, and He magnified His name above His word. Or His word above His name. Are you following me? He magnified His word above His name. How many of us have raised our experience above His word and rewrote His word based on our outcome? So in our attempts to crutch up our hurting hearts, we've written something, an analogy at the cost of truth, which makes us free. Now we got a problem. So Bill dies and Bob lives. Or let's cut him a break. Bob lives and Bill dies. And we say, let me observe this and think. God heals some and doesn't heal all. Because it makes sense to men. But it doesn't make sense to truth. So in Matthew 17, that wasn't the case. Jesus said, because of your unbelief. He didn't say, because it wasn't for you, it was reserved for me. He didn't say, because your timing wasn't right, your approach wasn't right, your prayer needs strengthened. He said, you're forgetting to see who you are now that I'm here. And you got your eyes on what wasn't happening instead of what you're called to and created for. So identity in Christ is huge. He is the revelation. So He said, bring the boy to me. Wouldn't it be awesome to live in a place where you say, bring him here? He said, follow me, and the things I do, you'll do if you believe. You show me a limit to that. There is none. We make them up, but they're not in the book. The limits aren't in the book.